With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens. What are most...
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, sunny and a little hazy actually right now, but the best news is we're not going to have to worry about the wet weather that was seemingly threatening this Saturday's action. And I haven't checked since about 5 a.m. this morning, so probably should look back and see if there's any latest development that I'm not being accurate about, now we are absolutely, now it's partly, mostly sunny for tomorrow and 78 degrees. This is a lesson, Ed DeRosa, in not worrying about the weather until you're about 36 hours out.
Yeah, and it works the other way, too. I mean, Monday and Tuesday of Derby week, we thought we were in store for a picturesque Derby day, and things turned around just like that, so... good not to worry about it, though. Looks like we're in the clear. Now just got to pick some winners.
Well, we'll get is Scully, is he available? I mean, or is there a Churchill show to do?
No. Shapiro's doing the show, and I texted with Scully. I thought he was.
And here he is. Here
okay,
he is. Okay.
I thought
Casey was calling. I just wasn't sure if he was okay. And James Scully,
hey,
back in Kentucky. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Glad to be here. I'm glad to be talking to you guys. Look, really, two dynamite days of racing ahead.
Absolutely, and one already in the books, and we'll start like we have with every conversation this morning with the feature, and we've tracked this, of course, all the way to Louisville and then through Baltimore, and it doesn't matter if you cashed on Justify, if you played against him along the way, here we are, and everyone acknowledges this can be one of the best wagering opportunities in the entire game. Triple Crown tries are one Triple Crown winner, 12 Triple Crown losers. And so let's kick it off. And Ed DeRosa, yay or nay?
I'm on nay. I picked against him on top, but this is a wagering game, and I think there are opportunities that even if he wins, you can cash in pretty big underneath, as we saw in the Derby with that $19,000 superfecta with Instilled Regard fourth. And then even the Preakness, 2-5 on top and 100-1 plus trifecta with, I didn't think, illogical horses right behind him. So to me, the big thing is what's your opinion that could cash out? And that's basically playing against Justify and Hofburg to be in the trifecta. And then Blended Citizens, my exotics key.
James Scully.
Yeah, I wound up being nay as well. I may have gone with just a five from a middle or outside post position, but I just think the rail post is a detriment, a real detriment. The caveat is if he can get break from the gate and get to a clear lead, I don't think then it becomes an issue. But I think he has Bravazo and possibly others looking to apply pressure to his outside. I like the draw for tenfold. I like his improving form. I think he's coming into the race on the upswing for Asmussen, and he has the potential for a good trip with his tactical speed. Didn't like the draw for Hofburg in post four. He's better running outside of horses, and I worry he's going to be too far back as well. I like Blended Citizen as a top three contender, and Vino Rosso, I thought, drew real well in post-aid and has a chance at the board as well.
Very good. And let's work backwards. James, pick up with the Manhattan. Just had a fun conversation with Joe Metka and Nick Tamaro. This is a really nice group that came together, 13 to go postward in the Manhattan.
Yeah, really nice group. And, you know, I'm against high happy. I don't like the mile and a quarter distance for him here. He wants longer, I think. Have respect for Robert Bruce, but I wound up landing on number 13, Spring Quality, for a little upset, Steve. Has that profile I like, where he's just switched to the turf, three starts back for Graham Motion. Exits, you know, ran two good races, you know, a decent fourth in the Knickerbocker, really improved upon it with a nice win in the Red Smith. And that was just the perfect comebacker, I thought. You know, really was forward in there and finished a good second. I think he's got the potential for a good trip under Prado. I'm going to give him the edge in the Manhattan.
Ed?
Yeah, I think this race could really blow up. And Beach Patrol I want to like a little more, but, I mean, the last race at the short price, I just can't take another short price here. On top, I landed on Multiplier. I'm swinging. First time turf, I thought ran okay. By no means the most likely winner, but at 30-1, I just saw enough things that this is a horse I'm going to play across the board.
Go forward, Ed. The Metropolitan Handicap and big group here of 11, including Limousine Liberal, who opts for this instead of the today's True North. A little bit of a surprise, but nice cast here.
Absolutely, yeah. I heard you talking with Nick and them, and I don't understand how anyone can have a complaint about this race. I'm not saying there's more Hall of Famers in this race than any race in history, but it's a compelling wagering race. There's great storylines to write about, and I went with B. Jersey. I think he just has the capability of blitzing this field on the front end, especially since he's not the high weight. I'm playing him gate to wire. I don't think we'll get 5-1, but in the Manhattan, where I want to go deep, this is a race I'm willing to lean on.
James?
I have the same opinion, Steve. I really like B. Jersey. I do hope to get 5-1. I mean, you know, I'm thinking Boldoro is going to – he could be the possible favorite, and Monier Biscuits and others. And I just think there's potential for him to be two lengths clear. You know, one-liner, the only other horse I think really – would run with him early, and he doesn't have. I mean, he made the lead at Keeneland on a moderate pace that day. I think he's more likely to sit second, and I think there's just B. Jersey brings that improving form on the step up that I love, and it's really remarkable that 11 horse met mile field, and there's just not more speed in there. Just not a lot of speed in this year's event, even though it's a really nice group.
Fair enough. And James, continue on. The Just a Game starts the late pick four tomorrow.
You know, I think both On Leave and Off Limit have the affinity for the course that's going to make them tough. But I'm sticking with La Cornell. I just didn't like that trip last time on the good turf. I thought, I think she has the potential to get the right trip, Lescano, with not a lot of pace in this race. And I think she could be well poised. I mean, she ran a good second, I thought, last year in the Sands Point on Belmont turf. So I'm tabbing her for a little bit of an upset, but I'm going to spread in that race.
Eddie?
Yeah, it's a tough one, especially with a Raving Beauty. I'm going with an either-or approach. I'm willing to lean on a Raving Beauty on several tickets and a little deeper others, and Cambodia is probably the longest price I'm most excited about. I've tried to chase her home a few times, and I think it was the maybe. No, she was favored that day, but one of those races I caught her, and I just think she's one of those honest mares that gives it to you, and when you can get 10-1, and no one in this race is consistently in the triple-digit Brisnet ratings. It's all in the upper 90s. She gets Drayden, sticks back with her. I just think at 10-1, she's worth a shot.
Ed, the Woody Stevens.
Another tough one. Ultimately, I landed on World of Trouble. There's just a lot in here I don't trust at shorter prices. Kentucky 3-1, I think, will be an underlay. I agreed with the thoughts. I forget if it was Nick or the gentleman with him, but Engage, I think, is likely to be overbet. So World of Trouble, I do like best. But Strike Power, I think, is interesting. Promises Fulfilled, I don't know why it would be 12-1. I guess if you don't think it'll be Gate to Wire, he has no shot. But underneath, I think Give Me a Minute is worth using as a vertical underneath key. The wind looks pretty tough. But if you get World of Trouble on top and Give Me a Minute underneath, you'll still do okay.
James?
I'd say the Woody Stevens is being like the opposite of the Met Mile, where you just have an incredible amount of early gas in this race. On the outside, three of them, Promises to Fill, World of Trouble, and Strike Power. But Pure Shot is a front runner who didn't make the lead last time, can run 21 and change, and he's going to be thin from the inside as well, in my estimation. It has a look, I thought, a little bit like a couple years ago when it fell apart in the stretch and Tom's Ready came rolling up. And, Steve, I thought terrible race in the Risen Star. I thought Give Me a Minute improved off of that one, fourth in the Louisiana Derby. And he came rallying, I thought, pretty solidly to be a clear third in the sloppy Pat Day Mile. I think he's got a shot for Dallas Stewart to mow these horses down in the stretch, and I'm definitely going to have some money on his nose. I will also use Engage as well, and, can think just in any multis because they got the right running style, I think.
James, go on with the Jaipur.
All right, in the Jaipur, I'm on the ultimate horse for the course, Disco Partner. Good prep, I thought, in that third in the Shaker Town at a distance of, I think it's just too short for him, too. I mean, maybe 5.5 is better than 5, like in the Breeders' Cup, but 6 furlongs hits him right between the eyes. Should be poised for a good one for Clement.
Yeah, I agree. That was the first name scanning the PPs along with the Oaks winner, this year's Oaks winner, that I thought were leanable as most likely singles. And Disco Partner, I think, will get a little better price. And Monomoy Girl, obviously. So definitely a key play and a horse I'll be leaning on in the Maltese.
James and Ed, let's rifle through the last three. And we'll start with the Brooklyn real quick. Ed?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Luch with War Story.
Not Luch anymore.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Thank you. well, I'm still sticking with War Story, though.
No.
A mile and a half, I thought, last year's Brooklyn. If he runs back to that, he's going to win this, and I think he can.
How about Luch, by the way, yesterday? $52,000 pick five hit.
Oh.
Well done.
He had the early?
He had the early pick
five. No one
five.
Had the late. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, but $2,200 ticket, but that's him.
That's how he
yeah,
rolls.
Yeah, rolls big and had a ticket posted for those of you that haven't seen it. Really well done. Ron does that regularly. James.
He's in the game.
Yeah.
On all facets.
Both hands.
I'm going with take your guns in the Brooklyn.
I like it.
Death round.
I like it.
And,
I like it.
I'll swing back. I'm on this on Monomoy Girl and the Acorn. I think she'll be too tough. I would bet. I see the 3-7, the top for Vogue to me is possibly good straight exacta. I'm gonna try to beat Caledonia Road, and the Phipps, just really tough to go against Abel Tasman in there. But I am a little intrigued by that move to stretch Ivy Bell out of the Bed of Roses for this. I know she'll be stretching out. But I like her recent numbers and the way she's coming into this. And she's a little bit of an intriguing horse that would have the best chance for an upset.
Yeah, I love Monomoy Girl, most likely winner on the day. My thoughts on the Easy Goer and Phipps are similar. I can't forgive the races Mask and Abel Tasman ran at the prices they were on Derby Day. And I realize, that week things are different, but I'll take another shot against him at a short price. James hit why I like Ivy Bell. And then in the Easy Goer, Suge, breaking the rules, won first out, got a 99 speed rating last out, 4-1. I'd love 4-1 on breaking the rules.
I'm on breaking the rules too, Steve. That's a perfect profile for me. I'm looking for him to step up on the stretch out.
Well, we are stretching out to the wire with just about 20 minutes to remain, not even 18. And for Twin Spires players, make sure you go through the blog roll. Terrific written material from everybody on the staff.
And real quick, I saw you posted the odds checker for this year's Gold Cup. Kelly Riley has her international
nice
preview. So if you're looking for some thoughts on the Euros, must read.
Outstanding.
Yeah, dynamite content.
James, best of luck. James has got some price ideas for today. You can visit at Twin Spires and fund your account. Lots of fun things going on at Twin Spires where players win. Ed DeRosa, good luck to you as well, of course. Let's stay right here. James, thanks a lot, buddy. We're going to stay here, and I've got in front of me Lafitte Benkai III, and there he is. He's made it. He's back. He's smiling. Seth Merrow does turn up like a swallow at Capistrano. Now, you're going on TV, so you can't wear the headset. We'll give you the stick mic. No, stick mic's good. Yeah, you're going to wear the headset? Wow. All right, so Seth is going to hand. Ed, thank you, buddy. And we'll slide. Hold on. Mike's not on. Turn the clip. You got to push the button. You would think. Here we go. Let's give you this.
You would think I would have, done this before.
Well, you have, and he has.
I don't need the headset. I hear enough of myself every day.
It's true. It's true. And you echo in your own head. Seth Merrow and Lafitte Benkai III together again for the first time.
No, we've had him on up at Saratoga.
Every year, almost. Yeah. Every year, yeah. If he's not flying back. Although you guys have had the regular shows now. You've had the summers at Saratoga.
It's going to be busy again this year. We'll be up there for the Whitney, the Travers, right on through the Woodward. And, yeah, the Breeders' Cup Challenge Series. It, as you know, we've already had a few races, but it starts. We have three of them on the undercard, at the Belmont. And we're right back at it the following week for the Stephen Foster, where everything started with Gunrunner last year. So, yeah, Royal Ascot the following week. So it's really a continuous schedule that we have this year.
Are you heading to?
I won't. No. Nick will be there. You have the ITV feed. And also, I believe Dylan Dreyer of the Today Show will be there with Nick for a day.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, and we'll talk to Nick plenty. Nick Luck, of course. And they're really missing a big opportunity to sending you over there and putting you in that outfit. Yeah.
I'll take the home field disadvantage. Yes.
Well, Guido, I want to see Todd Pletcher in the top hat.
I think we saw him.
Has he?
Yeah. Has he?
Last year or 2 years ago? The greatest in the attire is Johnny D. And I will resurrect.
Born to wear that morning suit.
Well, but he went. He was not. I don't know if he was in the royal enclosure. So he was in like the it was sort of royal enclosure adjacent, and ended up in this outfit. He looked just like Patrick McGoohan from the Avengers.
I like it.
He had the bowler hat, and it's the great. I put a pic side by side.
Johnny can pull it off.
Only
Johnny can pull it off.
Johnny today is doing. He's doing the Cigar Store Indian today at at the casino at Mohegan Sun.
You don't have to wear the top hat for that.
No. but he and Gail, and the problem Johnny's going to have is he's going to be hosting. The suggested play and everything, and Gail, God knows what Gail could lose at the tables unsupervised. It could get ugly. Or if she wins, then she'll spend everything in the shops. It's a dangerous scenario for Johnny.
That's right. Didn't she have a pair of shoes ruined or something along those lines in the mud at Preakness?
The ruby slippers.
We're always listening. Always listening.
I hope people were listening to you last night, and we had a lot of fun doing the Stats Race Lens webinar. Mm-hmm. People can watch the replay. It was spirited, and I found myself surprised that you were trying to beat Justify.
But you were playing devil's advocate for the sake of the show.
Yes,
I think
for the
that
sake of the show.
there are the analytics, and there's that line in the sand if you're for or against, and if you want to talk about the declining speed figures, if you want to talk about the diminishing margin of victory. You want to talk about that handicapping 101 angle we were always taught is that blanket finish races bet against those horses in their next start. How they say horses aren't machines. He better be, considering what he's being asked to do. All of that is out there as evidence as a potential reason why somebody might take a stand against Justify.
I think he's the best three-year-old at this point in the season. But we've said that about the other horses that come in. If you come in with the two legs under your belt, you automatically appear as the best three-year-old at this point in the season. So we've seen that happen and recently. California Chrome and Smarty Jones, we've seen it happen before. That's why it doesn't happen that often. It's hard. I think he's the best. I have him on top. but Vino Rosso's interesting to me. Blended Citizen maybe is a kind of a wise guy for me. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to be really interested to see what people do with Hoffberg, because to me, Hoffberg and Tenfold are kind of the same, lightly raced with a lot of potential. And between the two, I like Tenfold better, but I think Hoffberg's getting the buzz.
Where did the Hoffberg love affair begin and why? There's certain horses you see run a certain race in the Derby, and maybe because it's Pletcher, and we know what Pletcher does with horses exiting the Oaks / Derby going on to the Belmont. I'm still looking back for visual evidence of that aha moment. Yeah. That's why. And I haven't. I've heard it, but I from with
it's
my
the
own
Florida Derby,
eyeballs,
which I think kind of fell apart a little bit behind the winner. But I think that's what people are kind of hanging their
hat
on. Is it
Audible running third in the Derby, yeah, and Hoffberg was second in the Florida Derby? Is there some synergy there? I don't. Aside from Belmont, and it's, of course, Ortiz's riding, won his first Belmont a couple of years ago, the human element intact, I don't get the love affair with
Yeah,
Hoffberg.
As I say, between the two who I think are similar, I much prefer Tenfold, who I think it is going to be better odds, but I'll be interested to see at post time how it does shake out.
Mm-hmm. Vino Rosso.
Yeah, which we both agreed last night. Yeah. There was a lot to like.
I mean, Pletcher's done it three times on that same scenario, a horse laying off from Derby mm-hmm. weekend. Even the filly had run in the Oaks.
This far away from three others.
Yeah.
How close is Todd Pletcher to being a six-time Belmont Stakes winning trainer? We discussed this on the race lens last night. I mean, that's Woody Stevens' country. Yeah. He has six. That close. Steve doesn't like talking about commissioner.
Well, that hurt. I mean, listen, that's a photo. You win that photo.
It's brutal. That was brutal.
That was not a result that, you know, you get those and you shrug them off. And yesterday, I mean, I ended up hitting the late pick four. I lost that photo in the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
The Mott horse. And at the time, I was like, ugh. And you know what's funny, though? If it was going to pay like $9.50 and the beat actually got me. I'm not sure, because I was working on today's card, and I'm not sure if I would have bet the way I bet the late pick four, which paid $2,400, which was great. And so it was kind of one of those funny things. If you hit for $900, you say to yourself, you know, that's the day's made to pull a line from Daymaker and Jeff Siegel and Aaron Vercruzzi. But you know, that's you gotta press forward. You know, that's
two great days of racing, and I think though the flip side of that argument as to why handicappers might be taking a stand against Justify, for me it comes back to, in Bob Baffert I trust, and not to get too caught up in the statistics and go way off on a tangent, but looking these numbers up, this blew me away, and is like the mic drop, you know, statistic supporting the evidence that Bob Baffert is one of maybe the greatest trainer of thoroughbreds on dirt we've ever seen. Wins his first Derby in 97 with Silver Charm. In that time and since then, his Kentucky Derby winners have won 6 of 9 Triple Crown races after winning the Derby. The 5 Preakness wins, American Pharoah. You have Real Quiet's Nose, you have Silver Charm, who was defeated a half length, whatever it was. The point is, his horses fire. They don't just get to the Derby, bring their best, and then they continue. They maintain their form. In that same time, since 1997, every other Kentucky Derby winner combined, not trained by Bob Baffert, combined 6 for 27. 6 for 27 for Derby trainers, Derby winners not trained by Bob Baffert. Since Baffert won his first, he's 6 for 9 and this close to being 8 for 9. That's a coincidence?
No.
And there's no question that's one of the side stories we are watching. And a lot of times you don't realize it when history is happening as you're living it. But we're watching one of the all-time great trainers and this run through the Triple Crown over the past, you know, decade plus, certainly. And then a chance at a second Triple Crown in a four-year period is just incredible. And so people should kind of sit back and just let that sink in as well.
It's the chicken and the egg. I get it. But when it comes to Baffert, you know, he could have been abducted by aliens and we would have never seen him again. And his legacy was cemented. Bob Baffert, you know, 3-time Kentucky Derby winning trainer. What's going on over the last few years? This is next level stuff. This is Pharoah. It's Arrowgate. It's Justify. He's going into another stratosphere. It's 3 horses of a lifetime in 4 years, and he's the one pressing all the right buttons. He's the one cultivating all of it. You're not going to sell me on the idea that Bob Baffert just happens to be in the right place at the right time. He has a lot to do with that.
A couple of weeks ago, somebody wrote a thing. Oh, is it the horses that he gets? Well, he influences the horses in some cases that he gets. This one actually came to him. I mean, he was delivered upon him, and then he put his stamp on. But a lot of the ones that. You know, he's in with whether it's with Donato Lanni, picking out and the work that goes into it. You know, he's got a physical type that he's looking at, and then he's got a training methodology. And in fact, the start of the show with Jay Pribman, he trains these horses for the actual races. He's not training to get to the race, and that's a huge difference. And I do think that, and I've asked Baffert this myself. Why do you think other trainers haven't emulated your approach? And he, at the time, he said, I can't answer that. But I think some have started to. And Doug O'Neill clearly went from getting to the race to training to win the race. And that's a big part of it. Somebody can speak to this, and we've got about 4 minutes to wrap up the entire week. Tony Black in the wings. I wasn't going to let the Triple Crown try go without Tony, who I think has said yay or nay correctly to all the Triple Crown tries that have happened during the run of the show since 2005. I may be just making that up. But
his record is as good as the Jamaicans here?
Almost.
Did tell Bob Baffert whether or not, not today, Bob. The only time they said yes was Farrell.
Santos, you stink. Tony, yay or nay?
Steve. Yay. Blood clot, man. It's yay. Listen, Steve, you know, the one thing I said a week after the Derby, everybody was saying about that Apollo curse. Well, the Apollo curse turns into an Apollo blessing. Because this horse is a fresh horse. When you watch him train, you say to yourself, boy, he before the Derby, you say he only ran three times. Now you're saying he's run five times. He's coming to his sixth start, and he's a fresh horse. He trains like a bear. You watch him playing and kicking. One thing about it, Baffert can't keep him any happier than he's got him. So that Apollo curse, I think, turned into an Apollo blessing come Belmont time, and I said that. A Thursday after the Derby. It's going to be a blessing that he's only run five times. It's coming to his sixth start. He's fresh and ready to rock and roll.
It does look like he's thriving with the work, Tony. And, Tony, what do you think Mike Smith has to do to secure position? What happens after the gates open from that inside post?
Well, I'll tell you what. Going a mile and a half, I don't think it really matters that you're in the one hole. I think what's going to happen, you let the first half mile unfold, or whatever way it unfolds, you know he's going to be 1-2-3 at worst. And I think after a half mile, Mike Smith, this horse takes him just around, if he isn't on the lead, he takes him around the two horses that are in front of him, and he runs the next mile from the mile pole to the wire in track record time, and he just blows them away. We'll be looking at one big red horse that we saw many years ago, maybe Secretariat running in this Belmont Stakes. We're going to look at maybe something that's similar to that performance. I think he's just going to blow them away.
Did Tony just say he's going to go faster than Secretariat?
Well, he said for the last mile.
For the fast mile, got it.
Although,
got it.
That would be a feat in itself.
Right, yeah.
Well, Tony, I appreciate it. I didn't want to wrap the week up without you.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. Keep up the good work. And, boy, I tell you, you got some fine guests the whole week, and today you topped it off with some great speakers. And I didn't get a chance to listen to much of the show because I was even out at the racetrack this morning getting on horses.
Well, you can listen on the archive, and if anything you missed, then
his stories are the best.
Oh, Tony's forget it. It's the greatest. It's ridiculous. he's one of a kind. One of our man, Tony Black. Everybody,
take care.
We've got thanks, Tony. We got about 90 seconds. Seth Merrow, you Capital OTB TV action.
Friday and Saturday. Today and Saturday we'll be doing some live cut-ins, so looking forward to that. And a great day of racing. Justify, who I said at this point seems the top of the three-year-old class, but Monomoy Girl, clearly the top of the three-year-old filly class. That Acorn will be fun. And that Manhattan, you make a case for 10 of those horses. Great day of racing.
And I wound up with the favorite. in Beach Patrol, still in that Manhattan. My father wore his underwear inside out for like 40 years riding. We are superstitious in the Pink Tie household, all right? This silks thing, changing the silks, bugs me. Bugs me. But we're superstitious people. But I'm still
by nature, yes.
I think we see a 13th Triple Crown winner. I do. Silks bug me.
Coverage? What's the
today,
coverage, man?
5 Eastern. I'm on the East Coast, so I don't necessarily have to say that. Belmont Access today, just for an hour. The New York and the Gold Cup tomorrow on All Day. 5 hours, 2-hour undercard on NBCSN. And the bigger show starts at 4 Eastern on NBC. 3 hours on the flagship.
And, of course, for those of you that are going to be over the road in the cab, you can listen right here on Sirius XM. Coverage, of course, Mike Pena and the team, HRRN, this afternoon and tomorrow. And we're back with you for the recap on Monday.
I just got to toss in, you look great today in the tan seersucker.
Always sharp.
Oh, man.
Always sharp.
Very
sharp
much.
Shirt and a tie. You look fabulous.
How about the... You're missing the yellow paint.
Oh, okay. You're not wearing the blue suede shoes today, are you?
No, I'm wearing the... No, I'm actually... I'm wearing the...
Oh, well, it's a total outfit, baby.
I'm missing a meeting for this.
Oh! Hey, now. Easy. I want to thank Jay Pribman, Andy Beyer, Chris Kay, and sculptor Ricardo Santo made the new trophy. Hammer and Jimmy Ventura, Nick Tamaro, and Philly Joe... Tony Black just now, who pitched in. DeRosa, Scully, Seth Merrow. And people looking forward already asking me is, are we going to be back for
yes.
Loose on the Lead?
Yes.
The answer is yes at Saratoga. And the one and only LP3.
Pleasure, guys.
Good luck this weekend
week.
To everybody.
And to everybody. Enjoy.
I'll have the multi-race plays up shortly on the website. Thanks to Casey on a terrific job all week. And we'll talk to you Monday. Good luck, everybody. Safe trips for all. We'll see about history 6:45 tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to everybody at NYRA, too. Wonderful hosts. Turn our attention to the action starting now. Thanks, everybody.
Racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Justify complete his historic run to the Triple Crown in the Belmont Stakes? Find out on Saturday, June 9th. And if you're looking for a way to bet the Belmont, look no further than ExpressBet.com. ExpressBet provides legal online and mobile wagering on more than 300 tracks, including Belmont Park. And this year, ExpressBet has its own Triple Crown of Belmont Stakes promotions you can't afford to pass up. First, new customers can sign up to receive up to a $500 welcome bonus. And once you have an account, you can cash in on a pair of our most popular promotions. Get your money back in the Belmont Stakes if your horse finishes second or third, and hit big at a 10% Exacta bonus throughout the entire Belmont Stakes card. Plus, ExpressBet's free Belmont Stakes wager guide is now available. Don't forget to check back on Friday, June 8th to get Eddie Olchek's Belmont picks exclusively online at ExpressBet. Ready to start betting? Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and sign up for an account today. And don't forget to bet the Belmont Stakes on Saturday, June 9th.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
This is Steve Cole from the Cole Ranch, a horse farm and training center located in California. We offer folks the chance to join hands with us to own a young racehorse from our farm. We're dramatically different compared to most popular racing partnerships because we don't charge fees or commissions, and we don't inflate the value of the horse. Most racing partnerships buy a horse at auction for, say, $100,000, then turn around and sell shares for $200,000. We value our horses realistically and don't add on fees or commissions. Right now, Cole Ranch is selling shares in a 2-year-old calibred colt named Mr. Wickham. He's by Heatseeker out of Serena's Echo, our stakes-producing mare, who is a full sister to multimillionaire Thor's Echo. You can get into this horse for as little as $1,000, which will entitle you to a 5% interest. If you want to invest in this horse, please call me at area code 805-990-3669 or visit us on the web at thecoleranch.com.